Let's read together 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. In this next section of 1 Timothy 1, we have instruction as to the goal of sound biblical teaching in the church and also the purpose and right use of the law. 1 Timothy 1, beginning at verse 5. Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites or homosexuals, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Let's begin this section of 1 Timothy 1 with some background notes. When the Apostle Paul wrote this epistle to Timothy in around AD 63, Timothy was in Ephesus, one of the major cities of the ancient world. Some of us here today had the opportunity to visit the ruins of ancient Ephesus this past summer. We walked the very streets that Paul and Timothy would have walked. Great experience. When Paul moved on to Macedonia, that's where Greece is today, Paul left Timothy at Ephesus to help build up the church there in Ephesus. Look back at verse 3. We see from this verse that false teaching was already a problem in the young church at Ephesus. The particular false teachers Paul had in mind here in 1 Timothy chapter 1 appear to be believers, but believers that had strayed from the truth and missed the mark, as we see in verse 6. Now, we don't read that Timothy was to excommunicate these off-the-mark teachers, but he was to confront them and silence them as to their false teaching. Again, verse 3, charge some that they teach no other doctrine. We see from verse 7 that the particular brand of false teaching that Paul had in mind here was the false teaching of the Judaizers. The Judaizers were Jews that put a great emphasis on the Mosaic law, and as a result, they were mixing up grace with law and confusing faith with works. As we read the rest of the New Testament, we see that there was a whole range of Judaizers. There were the non-Christian Judaizers on the one hand, that had no time or place for the gospel in their teaching. But on the other hand, there were the Christian Judaizers. That is, true believers in Christ, but they were putting a wrong emphasis on keeping the law. They were also emphasizing the legends and endless genealogies of extra-biblical literature, as we see there in verse 4. Thus they had strayed from the truth and missed the mark. These are the false teachers that are in view here in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal or teaching point number 1. The goal of sound biblical teaching should be love. The goal of sound biblical teaching should be love. Verses 5 and 6 once again. Now the purpose of the commandment, or the goal of our instruction, as another translation puts it, is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk. In other words, in contrast to false teaching, which strays from the mark and results in idle talk, the purpose and goal and result of sound biblical teaching is love. Not just an emotional love feeling, but agape love. That's love that is of the will. Agape, as you know, is the Greek word for love here. And it's love that is characterized by denial of self in the interest of others. Agape love for both God and man should be the goal and will be the result of sound biblical teaching. Notice from verse 5 that this agape love is from a pure heart, a good conscience, and sincere faith. Now, at first, this may sound like a threefold goal, a pure heart, a good conscience, and sincere faith. But it is really one goal, love. Love that comes from a pure heart, love that comes from a good conscience, and love that comes from a sincere faith. Now, for the sake of time, I'm going to read something that I wrote on this verse some years ago. I'm reading a few paragraphs from an issue of Devotions for Growing Christians entitled, The Goal of Love. The most startling aspect of this verse is the emphasis on love rather than truth, particularly in view of the context concerning distorted teaching. Truth was not to be pushed aside because their love was to be the result of their sincere faith. However, according to this scripture, the ultimate goal of Christian teaching and preaching is to be love, not truth. It almost sounds heretical, but that is what the Holy Spirit had Paul write. He certainly could have written, the goal of our instruction is truth along with love, or something like that, but that is not what is written. Often well-meaning Christian leaders become so concerned for the truth that orthodox belief becomes the bottom line of all their teaching and preaching. They seem to be more concerned about the details of what their students and congregations believe than what they do with their knowledge. The crossing of theological T's becomes more important than living out the faith. According to our text, these well-meaning Christians have missed the goal. While this verse does not teach that dotting the I's and crossing the T's in our theology is trivial or unimportant, it does teach that correct doctrine is not the end product of good preaching and teaching. Love is. Again, the idea is not that orthodoxy is the wrong goal, but that orthodoxy alone is short of the goal. The end product of all our Christian teaching and preaching should be love for God and love for mankind. Love for God is shown in a life which is characterized by worship and reverent obedience to His commandments and desires. As we obey God, His love will increasingly fill our lives so that we will reach out to others with compassion and care. How are we doing? Are we teaching, preaching, and reaching the goal of our instruction? And now I'm skipping over to the last few paragraphs of this devotional. The kind of love which is the goal of sound teaching and preaching is love from a pure heart, love from a good conscience, and love from a sincere faith. Love from a pure heart is love that is free from hidden impure motives. Love from a pure heart does not ask, what's in it for me? Or how can I avoid this responsibility? Love from a pure heart results from teaching which continually lifts up the person of Jesus Christ as our Savior and the model we should follow. Love from a good conscience is love that practices righteous and Christ-like living. Christians with a good conscience pay back their loans on time and don't cheat on their tests and income taxes. Practical application of the moral standards of Scripture is the kind of preaching that will bring conviction and correction and ultimately love from a good conscience. Love from a sincere faith is love that does not wear masks. It does not play church or give mere hypocritical lip service to God or make only sporadic and ineffective attempts at living a biblical lifestyle. It is characterized by genuine and wholehearted trust, consistent ministry on the character of God, and His purpose and program for man will result in love from a sincere faith. The goal of sound biblical teaching should be love. Doctrinal point number two, the purpose of the law is to set forth God's moral standards. The purpose of the law is to set forth God's moral standards. In verse 7, we see that the false teachers misunderstood the law. They did not really understand why God gave the law, and they did not really understand the believer's relationship to the law. And yet they were speaking as if they were authorities. Verse 8 says that we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. So what is the purpose of the law? Why did God give His moral law? Verses 9 and 10 make it clear that the purpose of the law was to set forth God's moral standards. The law shows us God's standards and convicts us of sin. Romans 3:20 says that through the law comes the knowledge of sin. And Galatians 3:24 says that the law was our tutor or schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. The law shows that the acts mentioned here in verses 9 and 10 are sin. Notice that homosexuality is not an alternative lifestyle according to God's standards. Read Romans 1 in this connection. Now, what about the statement that the law is not made for a righteous person? that we see there in verse 9. The righteous person here is the Christian. When we accept Christ and become Christians, we're righteous in God's sight. If a person is righteous, no law is needed. Law is for the lawless and rebellious. It is needed as a basis for the punishment of criminals and to protect society. Now that brings us to an important question. How should the Christian relate to the law today? You know, some Christians say that when you become a Christian, now your goal or aim in life is to try to keep the Ten Commandments with all your might. No, I think that's a distortion or wrong aim. The right aim for the Christian is to fall more in love with Christ. Illustration: the man truly in love with his wife has no problem keeping the law of thou shalt not commit adultery. Christians who are truly in love with Christ automatically obey the law much more than they could have if they tried to keep the law with all their strength. So the purpose of the law is not for salvation or for Christian living. The purpose of the law is to set forth God's moral standards. And we see from verse 11 that this view of the law is right in line with the gospel. The right view of the law in no way takes away from the gospel which manifests the glory of God. The purpose of the law is to set forth God's moral standards. What about practical application from this section of 1 Timothy 1? Does your philosophy of ministry have a biblical goal? Does your philosophy of ministry have a biblical goal? A number of you here this morning are actively involved in a church or Christian ministry. What is the philosophy of ministry of that church or ministry? That is, what is the bottom line of what that church or ministry is trying to do? If the goal is verse 5, namely love from a pure heart, love from a good conscience, and love from a sincere faith, then it is a biblical goal. But on the other hand, if the emphasis is on entertainment or professional music or raising money for bigger and better buildings, then there may be a distortion or departure from the biblical goal. Now, don't get me wrong. There is a place for the music program and the drama program and the building fund, but if the emphasis in the church or ministry shifts to an emphasis on these things, then the philosophy of ministry no longer has a biblical goal, namely love from a pure heart, love from a good conscience, and love from a sincere faith. You know, every church and Christian ministry should have a mission statement. And there's really no better mission statement that you could get than 1 Timothy 1:5. Does your philosophy of ministry have a biblical goal?